All right, so let's open up. First of all, let's do this before we start off. Now, I want to just give you this acronym. You want to take some notes tonight. The acronym that we're going to use is the word GROW, G-R-O-W. G-R-O-W. And that word GROW stands for Go Reach Our World. Now, let me ask a question. Why should we go reach the world? What's going on in the world right now? Sin. Sin always been there. What else? Right here, Leah.
Pain, come on.
What is it? Pain.
Depression.
What else? Wow, violence, right? I mean, it seems to me, I get these alerts on my phone. It's like ever since like 2016 started, it's like somebody's burnt down their house. A kid, last night, I think a guy went out to test, a car salesman went out to test drive a car with some people and they kidnapped him. I mean, like, wow, I'm like, wow. You know, you can't even go test drive a car anymore, you know? I'm just saying, you know, people getting killed, right? All right, suicide, people committing suicide already, this year already. And we're only, what, 5 days into the new year, right? And so it tells us that, now what do? Do we turn our backs and say, you know what? Well, you know what? As long as I'm not doing that kind of stuff, I'm good. You know what I mean? I'm fine. I'm just going to pray for them. You know what I mean? You know, the question is, what's going on and what can we do? Right? What can we do to bring about change? Because the truth be told, inside of all of us in this room here tonight, we were something like that before. Am I right? You know, you may not have killed anybody, but you probably lied. Amen. How many want to take the good person test tonight? How many say you're a good person? How many think you could pass the good person test tonight? Man, I wish I didn't teach that. Because, you know, if you ask somebody at work, are you a good person? Or you ask someone in your family, and you think you're a good person, you know what they're going to say? Yeah, I'm a good person. And then the next question is, what makes them good? According to what standard, you know, are they judging that by? And quite frankly, most of the time, it's always, well, I don't hurt anybody. I pay my taxes. I go to church. You know what I mean? I do all the right things. But what about lying? Right? So what I'm going to teach you, I'm going to teach you two forms of witnessing. Right? So we're going to learn the Roman road. We're going to learn about the Ten Commandments, and we're also going to learn the four spiritual laws. Now, these are different techniques that you can use while witnessing. Now, here's the question I have for you. Why should I witness? Okay, we're commissioned. And you know, Ronnie, you know, some people, yeah, I get that. But that's not good enough, right? So, Sarah? Excuse me? Help people not to go to hell? Okay. What else? All right. There you go. Because if somebody didn't witness to us, we wouldn't be. Come on, somebody. Right? We wouldn't be saved. Does this make sense? We wouldn't be saved today if somebody did not bring us, either bring us to church, amen, or got us, or we got into a place where we were able to hear the gospel and then respond to it, we wouldn't be saved today. And that tells you, watch this, how many of you can honestly say that your life has changed since you met Jesus. So, all right, if that's the case, and it's so good like that Patti LaBelle pie, that's my favorite one, right? You know, man, that thing went viral. Right? But I think today what we're doing is that we're selling the wrong thing. We're promoting the church and its activities. So we'll get Fantasia to come sing. Next week, Fantasia gonna be here at the Vision. Tupac may come back from the dead. Y'all, he wasn't really dead. And listen, he gonna be right here. All right, and guess what? He's gonna be up in here and he's gonna be teaching. So what we're doing today is like we're moving away from the main message, and what we're doing is we're trying to bring people to Christ through different means, and then it ends up being a false conversion. Oh, come on, somebody. So tonight I want to give you a definition of spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication is the biblical pattern. Spiritual multiplication is the biblical pattern for fulfilling the Great Commission. Spiritual multiplication, listen, it's something that we have been commanded to do. Definition? I'm sorry. See, we're gonna get our screen fixed here in a minute. Don't worry. Spiritual multiplication is the biblical pattern for fulfilling the Great Commission. What's the difference between the Great Commission and the Great Commandment?
The Great Commission is go out and make disciples.
All right, go out and make disciples. Okay, what's the Great Commandment? Your neighbor. That's right. Love one another as you love yourself. Love God. Amen. And love others as you love yourself, right? So the Great Commission was given to us by Jesus, right? So I want you to open up your workbook now. Workbook time. Amen. We're gonna look at some stuff. I like teaching this stuff. I do. Yes, sir. You didn't get a book? We need a book up here. If you didn't get a book, raise your hand if you didn't get a book. I want everybody to have their own personal book. I think I made enough copies tonight. All right? So you see where it says session one? All right. I see on the side of there you can write notes and stuff like that. All right? So spiritual multiplication is the what? The biblical pattern for fulfilling the what?
Great Commission.
The Great Commission. What is the Great Commission?
Well, we're going to look at that here in a minute. All right? So the first thing I want you to do, and the purpose of this session, somebody read that for me. What's the purpose of this session? All right, so I want to say this, that different methods that we can use to bring people to Christ, I'm not saying that it's wrong, but what I am saying is that sometimes we can use worldly methods to get people to gather into church, and we can fill this church every Sunday, but the people that leave this church may leave the same. Are you with me? How many of you went to church for a long time and you remained the same? Come on, somebody. And it wasn't until someone was able to witness to you and share with you that going to church is not something you're doing for God every Sunday.
Come on, somebody. Going to church is not just you saying, you know, that, you know, I'm here and, you know, I paid my tithe, so guess what? That's good enough. Going to church means that you have a relationship now with God, and every week you reaffirm that relationship by your presence and by your service to God. Are you with me? Now, here's the thing. We talked about what's going on in the world. And we said that there are a lot of things going on, and so people are killing themselves. Drugs are taking over, violence and all this other stuff. So my question is, what is the answer? Everybody say that. Everybody say Jesus, right? Jesus is the answer, but yet it's not getting any better. There you go, my friend. We're gathering as a church. You know, tonight we have good attendance. Amen. Next week we may have low attendance. Then next week we may have high attendance. And so church is kind of like right now a what? A roller coaster, because I believe that until you really realize, until you and I really realize how important Jesus is and how powerful he is, that he can take some of the worst people that you could even imagine and change their lives. May I say this to you? The solution to our problem, amen, is what? Jesus. Now, here's the thing. We are mandated by God. This is not something that's optional. It's something that is mandated by God, amen, that all of us become witnesses for Jesus. Now, I'll tell you, the Jehovah's Witness, they got it down, man. Now, the Jehovah's Witness teaches this: salvation by works. That there's only going to be 144,000 people who will get into heaven, so you better get to working. And you better get to leading people to Christ, because if you do enough works, right, then you'll get into heaven. That's pretty deep. My thinking is like this. The God that made billions and billions and billions and billions of people, right? Why would he just limit it to 144,000 people? Matter of fact, why don't he just make 144,000 people and then be done with it, right? Now I'm not, you know, that's not strong apologetics, but it's close. But here's the thing, right? You and I were transformed when somebody else who took the mandate seriously, right, went out and shared Christ with you. Is that deep? So here's the thing. God expects us now to multiply. Why does he expect us to multiply? Because you become his hands. You become his feet. The Bible talked, remember we talked about that in church, that the church is made up of what? There are what? One body, but what? Many members, right? That each one of you have a function to play in church. But here's the thing. I believe now, saints, in 2016, it's a time for change. I believe that you and I have matured to a certain place now where it's time for us to start talking about Jesus. It's time for us to start sharing. Listen, I don't want you to just invite somebody to church. I want you to invite them to know Jesus. And I believe that after they come to know Jesus, then they will be motivated to walk through the doors of the church, because guess what? Right now, the world is offering them something better than us. Come on, somebody. There are a lot of people going through struggles and trials and circumstances and situations right now in their lives, and they don't know how to get out of debt. They don't know how to get over those demons in their lives. They don't know how to overcome anger and malice, and they don't know how to get out of the hole that they're in. And all you and I have to do is say, All you got to do is accept Jesus. Now I want to say this to you. Just because they accepted Jesus doesn't mean that the problem will go away. As a matter of fact, the problem gets worse. Why? Because then you got to pay your taxes. Then, amen, you got to go sit out those tickets and get your stuff together. Because it's something about when Jesus come in your life, you stop being shady. It's amazing when Christ comes in your life how you want to do things right. Unless that's not you, you know. It's amazing when Jesus comes into your heart and the Holy Spirit starts working inside of you how you do things differently. So watch this. The same God that saved you. You know, we've been talking, you know, our church needs to grow. Our church needs to grow. You know, it needs to grow. It needs to grow. Yeah, I understand it needs to grow. But here's the thing. If you and I don't see the importance of winning a soul, amen, our church will never grow. And here's the thing. I don't want to just fill these seats. Really, I don't. I don't want to just fill these seats. I would like to fill these seats with people who really want to know Jesus. And you know what I want? What I'd like to see? I'd like to see you open your mouth right there at your job. The person that you're working with right now. You know, huh? You know those people at your job? They talk negative all day long. They're talking about stuff. They're not talking about Jesus. They're not talking about anything. All they talk about is stuff. And you can be a witness for Christ. Are you with me? So let's see what the passage says then. Let's see what God says. Go to Matthew chapter 28 for me. Matthew 28. My goodness. Y'all with me? Amen. Amen. I'm glad. So glad you're with me. Matthew 28. And let's just kind of look at this for a minute. Let me go here right quick. Let's get into the word. I love teaching this stuff. This is the stuff that makes me exciting. I get excited about this because let me tell you why. Because listen, had somebody didn't witness to me, wouldn't be here today. Ain't that something? And just think about it. There's somebody right now waiting on you. That's why the Lord told me to teach this. Get our church equipped to win souls. Amen. Matthew 28, let's back up to verse 16. Somebody read that for me, please. Keep going.
When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were doubtful.
Right there. Stop right there. See that? There's 11 disciples. They ate dinner with him at the beach. See, I want to tell you something. This Jesus thing can be very complicated at times. And the reason why is because, watch this, when things aren't going our way, we doubt. We doubt the same Jesus that we was up here last week. The Lord, I want to testify that he was good to me. he helped me. He changed my life. And then from time started, who? Who? Jesus? Look what it said. There was 11 disciples, right? He told them to go where he had designated them. But watch this. He said that when they saw him, they did what? See, the natural thing to do when you come into the presence of Jesus is to worship him. And you know what the word worship there means? It means to get down. It means to, it's like a dog eating from the master's hand. It means to, this is the Greek word, it means to lap like a dog. See, you can't worship God with your chest out.
You can't worship God standing either. You have to get into the posture of prayer. You have to get down to worship him. See, and it says, the text says, that when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some were what? See, this is what happens to us. We love Jesus as long as things are going well, or we have experienced some great things in our lives, but then all of a sudden, what causes us to doubt? Some will worship, but some will doubt. So out of the 11, I don't know how many doubted. And watch this. And whenever you find yourself falling back, drifting back from worship, you move into an area of doubt. But the same God that did it for you is the same God that will do it for you while you're doubting. Listen, God's ways are so amazing to me that even when I've messed up royally, even when I've doubted him, he still keeps on blessing me. You know what that is? That's grace. See, I could be further along. In 2016, I want to declare this to you. You and I have to stop living on just enough and start living in the overflow. The only way that we can move to overflow is if we stop doubting. See, because when we doubt, God still loves you, and what he does is he gives you grace, just enough. But I don't want just enough anymore. I want to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Come on, somebody. And even though I'm going through right now, and even though I'm suffering, and even though I'm going through a little pain right now in my life, I will not doubt because the Lord is my shepherd. Are you with me? Look what he said in verse 18. Now Jesus came to them, and now they're where they're supposed to be. And here's the thing about witnessing you got to remember. You're not doing it in your authority. Now, I want to say this to you. Becoming a witness for Jesus can be scary if you overthink it. Because you're like, you know, I've been in situations where I'm in the store, right? And the Holy Spirit will say, talk to him. No, I ain't doing that. Boom. And I go around the counter to the back only to run into the same person. Now, some of us, we don't talk to people. How many of you don't talk to people easily like that? Like you don't hold conversation good, all right? So there's a few of us. And we can help you with that, okay? See, it's, and I'll show you in a minute what it is, what it really is. It's not you. There's a young lady at the Dollar General across the street. I'm working on her right now. So, like, I went in there on New Year's. I said, what's your New Year's resolution? She said, I have none. Just another day. I said, just like that. I said, you got to have at least one. Well, I won't jump off a cliff. I said, okay. I said, but be careful who you follow while you're jumping off that cliff. She said, oh, that's inspirational. I already know, number one, she has a natural mind. She has no purpose in life. She's just living. She's just existing. And can you imagine? I've been there. How many of you were there when you were just existing, right? You were just like existing in this world. You didn't have really no purpose. You had goals, but all those goals were geared around a career. Take the career out of the picture. What were you living for? Ha ha. Nothing. Nothing. So, you know, I'll go back again and I'll drop a little bit. So what I'm saying is you don't have to like attack people with Jesus
You know, you have to use tact, and you have to use style, and the Holy Spirit will give you the things to say. Some of you naturally have it, right? And God will put it inside of you. So, but you have to realize one thing: it's not you. It's never you. If you can be a willing vessel, that's all God needs from you to be a witness for him. All God needs from you is your willingness. And let me ask tonight, how many of you are willing? Amen. And if you're willing, God will use you to share. Listen, do you know the greatest thing you can do is to bring somebody to Jesus? The Bible says when you bring someone to Christ, he says angels in heaven rejoices over one soul. Just think about that for a minute. That you can be a representative for God on earth. Is that powerful? Look at your workbook real quick. And what does it say? It says, read Matthew 18. Let's go to verse 18. I'm sorry, 18. And look what it says. And what? Okay, so we're going to stop there in verse 18. So to show you the biblical mandate, right? So the first thing is that we have a what? A mandate. We have a command. But what is Jesus doing? Jesus is telling them all authority. What authority? Well, no, he has all authority, right? Because he is God, right? Now hold your finger there and go to Colossians chapter 3 for me. Now, it's good to know, here's what it's good to know. It's good to know that the person that we're representing here on earth has all authority, not just in heaven. Come on, somebody. So if Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth, what does that mean to us? Let's talk a little bit. It's a workshop. Did I say it was a workshop? Yeah, I did.
Because he has given us that same authority.
He's given us what? All right. What else? What does it mean? Authority. Gives you what? All right. Okay. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Okay. So here's the thing now. Jesus is declaring he's getting ready to ascend. Y'all know what that means? Where's he going? To where? To the right hand. And what he's saying to his disciples, hey, you know, when I was with you, you didn't act right. y'all fell apart. Now I'm leaving, but I'm giving you all authority. It's kind of like, okay, I'm leaving Herod, and guess what? I give you the authority to be over this church. I'm gone. I'll be back. So now you have all authority to do what? Make decisions, carry out plans, all right? And operate as if you were what? In charge, but like me, right? But remember, I have all authority where? So why does the earth look like this? Now, I want to say this to you. I believe the reason why things look the way they do is because people like you and I are not talking anymore. We're not sharing our faith. We're not using the authority that we have. Colossians. Because of our flesh, I'll take that on Periscope. Amen. Because of our flesh, thank you. Amen. We don't have authority because of our flesh. I like that. But look what he says here. He says here in Colossians chapter 1, I want to show you this. Look at verse 13 for me. Did you get a handout? Had no more handouts? Here you go. You can have mine. I have one. You're welcome. Look what it says. Read it for me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Hey, what did he do? Okay, what version are you reading from? New American Standard? Okay, mine says, for he delivered us. It's the New American Standard, but it's just a slight twist to it. For he delivered us from the domain of what? Of what?
Darkness.
Of darkness. How many of you remember being in the domain of darkness? See, you know what I like about, you know, the leopards, the 10 leopards? See, there were 10 people who were healed, right? But only one came back to say thank you. See, when you have been in dark, how many of you have been in darkness? Seriously? How dark was it? You know, in Trinidad, we were driving down this road, right? And my nephew said, he said, now, if I shut the lights off, you won't even see your hands. And he was driving, he shut the lights off, and I promise you, we couldn't see. Now, I'm like, man, turn the lights back on, man. I had never seen darkness. That was dark of dark. That's what I call it. It wasn't even navy blue. It was dark. You know, some dark to a navy blue, right? This dark was so pitch dark. I was like, man, that's dark. And that's what Jesus delivered us from. But there's somebody in your life, a family member. Listen, they dress good. They speak well, but they are living in darkness. They don't even know how to get out of it. And you have the keys. You do. You have it. You have the peace that they're missing because God has given you the authority to do it. Are you with me? Watch what he says. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us, hello somebody, to the what?
Kingdom.
To the what?
Kingdom.
To the kingdom of his beloved son. So here's what happens when we get saved. We are transferred from darkness into a kingdom. When you say to somebody, would you like to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And you pray that prayer of salvation, and they believe that by faith. What's happening there is a transaction. That word transfer carries the idea of an accounting term. It's a transaction that's happening. This is real. Listen, I remember being in darkness. I remember that all I did was ask Jesus into my heart. I didn't have to jump. I didn't have to flip. I didn't have to fall on the ground. I didn't have to say, oh, shuppy, whatever that is. Nobody had to push me down. All I did was say, Jesus, come into my heart. I am a sinner. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I need salvation. I need to be saved, God. Come into my heart. I believe you. I believe that you died on the cross. And the transaction was made, and then I was transferred into the kingdom. Remember kingdom principles? I haven't given you all of them. But that was a promise that God made. But watch the rest of this text. Verse 14, he says, in whom we have what? Redemption. Redemption. You've been redeemed. Do you know that Satan had a price on you? I wish I had somebody. And listen, the worse you were, the higher your price. You know why? Because the worse you were, the greater you will be in the kingdom. You ever notice God calls the crooked people to preach? Listen, it's not that we were so intelligent or we knew Greek and Hebrew. I knew nothing about nothing and was going nowhere. And he picks the worst of us to glorify him. That to me is like tripped out. Why would you choose somebody like me? Why would you even like consider me? Knowing who I was, but I thank God for Jesus. That he doesn't look at our past. That he's not interested in what you did in the past. Watch this, he knows your future. And so here's the thing. If I was that bad off, and now look at me, why would I not want to witness? Why do I have to use scare tactics and say that you got to work for your salvation? Why aren't we just on fire to lead somebody else to Christ? What's up? What's going on in the church? We have authority, but we've lost our zeal. You know why? Because we're interested only in us. Can you imagine you worked with a person for 30 years or 20 years, and then they die and they go to hell? Can you imagine there's a burning building, right? There's a child sitting in the window saying, help me, help me, help me, help me. And you're the fireman. And you pulled up in the fire truck and you've been messing with your walk. You were trying to check out the radio station and the building is burning, right? True story. And a child's up in the window saying, help me, help me. And you have everything in your power to put out that fire, but you never use it because you were distracted. That's how it is when we turn our backs. Well, you know, when we say this, oh, child, we can't help him. Ain't no help for him. You know what? If my mother-in-law and my wife and my father-in-law and those people would have said, you know what, there's no help for him, I wouldn't be here today. I don't think y'all hearing me. If they didn't give it one more try, they said, you know what, let's get him over to Larry's church. Let's get him over there. Let's just see. Because the first church I went to, man, shoot, there were demons there. Do you know there are demons in church? And you know what my job is? To chase them out. Confront them and say, listen, we ain't going to have that here. Amen. And I went to that church. And when I opened the doors of that, when they opened the doors of that church, it's like I saw heaven. That's been 17 years ago. Isn't that something? And all I did was ask Jesus into my heart. Now, some of you are changed and transformed because you did the same thing. It's time for us to start talking about Jesus. Watch this. Watch this. What time is it? I'm coming to a closing. Y'all looking serious now, y'all. Like, dang, go. Stuff make you think, right? Like I should be doing more, right? Amen. Some of you work in schools, right? You know, we have some police officers here. Man, you guys get to see the worst of the worst. And I believe the answer is Jesus. Amen. Watch this. Watch what it says. It says, verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, right? Sins. Verse 15, and he is the image of what? The invisible God, the firstborn of what? All creation. Now look at verse 16. For by him, what? Huh? Now when you look at Matthew 28 and 18, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven on earth. Why? Because he created what? All things. So what he was saying to the disciples, I'm just giving you authority. I'm just letting you know that I have authority over everything that you can even imagine. Everything in the world, it doesn't matter. Anything that you desire to do, if you put Christ in it, it will work. Come on, somebody. If you put Jesus in it, it will what? Work. Watch what he says. He says, for by him all things were created, both where? In what? In the heavens and where? Visible. Whether what? Thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created what? By him and what? For him. I know why the world is messed up, okay? Let me just tell you why. Because of sin. All right? Because the earth is in a fallen state. And the people in it also. But how many people we have here tonight? Twenty-two people. Just think how many of you, if these 22 people right here, if we go out and we start sharing Jesus to the world, and then those watching online, and if we start sharing Christ with a depraved world, and I'm being for real, and we know that he has authority over it, right? What do you think will start happening? Change. Family members. Well, see, this is where you got to start with. You got to start with your friends. F-R-A-N-S. F-R-A-N, your friend. Friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. You got it? Friend. Friends. That's how you say it in the South. Friends. I got some friends. Oh, that's Ebonics. I'm sorry. Friends, relatives, associates, and what? Neighbors. Do you know in like a week time you can have about 15 people in church? If you were just to work with that people group, friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors. Amen. Now, we're going to have a Bring Your Neighbor Day this year. I know you should say your neighbors are messed up. My neighbor already had, or here's the other one. I'm going to show you how to do it. My neighbor already got a church. I got that. But guess what? The house after that neighbor. But listen, we don't even know our neighbors, some of us. We've been living there a long time. How many of you know all the neighbors on your street? On both sides of the street. Huh? Nobody? How many of you know all the neighbors? Okay, one, two, all right. That's deep, ain't it? That's real deep. It used to be your neighbor would look out for you. Right? It's different. Neighborhood's changed. Right? But Christ still has authority. He has authority. And if you were to be a witness to that person, amen. Guess what will happen? Their lives will change. Are you with me? Look what he says here. He says that he gave him all authority. Verse 17. And says that he is before what? All. See, here's the thing. If he is before all things, and in him all things what? You know a reason why you're holding together right now? Why you haven't given up yet? Well, because you're putting him before everything, I hope. And if you put him before everything, see, what I'm trying to show you tonight in your witness, because you're gonna come across people with a bunch of excuses, and you're gonna run across a bunch of people who will say, I don't want to hear none of that. But here's the thing, you'll watch their life falling apart. Just because they have money doesn't mean that they got it together. You will run into these kinds of people, and you can see in their lives who is really first. The text says, and he is before all things, and in him all things do what? Hold together. Are you with me? Watch this. And he's also, this is the rebuttal for the church. Because see, what happens to a lot of people, they want salvation, but they don't want the church. They want to have internet church, and they want to have this church and that church, the hip-hop church. I don't know what kind of church that is. But see, the church is not popular today. Church is not popular today. But for us who have been transferred, see, they don't know. I talked to a guy at your birthday party, the sound guy. He said, I used to say, man, why are these Christian people always shouting and they happy all the time and things like that? He said, but it wasn't until I had my fifth heart attack. I wish I had somebody. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just saying. See, here's the thing. Tragedy sometimes will open your eyes. And sometimes tragedy will not open your eyes. But his eyes were open. He said, now I understand why they shout, and I'm shouting with them. See, the reason you come here every week, it's because you got something to shout about. You've been through something. You have been through something. And listen, don't let the devil take your shout. Don't let the enemy take your joy. Don't let him take your peace. Listen, I told you last week or weeks before that you are on a hit list in the enemy's camp. And I want to tell you something. There's nothing the devil can do to you that you just allow him to do. Unless you allow him to do it. If he is before all things in your life, then there's nothing that can touch you. In other words, you are untouchable. I wish I had somebody. And when Satan uses his little petty, you know, Satan is like a little kid that he just sits around and it's just a bunch of mischief going on in his mind. Just a bunch of stuff. He just be making up stuff like, yeah, I'll annoy you. That's what he does. He strategizes. But if you understand how much authority that you have and how much power you possess, then you and I will not fall for his tricks. Let me tell you where Satan begins with from the moment you get up in the morning, in your mind. You ever notice that? Watch tomorrow morning when you wake up. Watch the first thing which you think about when you wake up. And I want to tell you this. 9 times out of 10, it's negative. Y'all ain't trying to hear me. Y'all not trying to hear me. Now, 9 times out of 10, it's, man, shoot, I'm something that happened a day ago or 2 days ago. You follow him? Say something that's negative that you're like, man. First thing you wake up in the morning, you haven't even got to your knees to pray yet. But the first thing he attacks is your mind. You know what the Lord gave me this morning in my prayer closet? He gave me, put on the full armor of God. Protect your mind with the helmet of salvation. Now, why is it called the helmet of salvation? I'm sorry I'm digressing here, but I want to show you something. Watch this. The reason it's called the helmet of salvation, because you got to remember what happened to you all the time. I'm saved. Yes, Satan, I know what you're saying to me this morning, but guess what? I'm saved. Now, what you going to do? I'm saved. I'm sanctified. I've been transferred into the kingdom of God. Now what? The helmet of salvation. Keep reminding yourself, I'm saved. And though it may look a certain way right now, guess what, Satan? I'm still saved. Come on, somebody. And the greatest gift that I've received from God is eternal life. Come on, somebody. And yeah, you may try to annoy my life here on earth, but guess what? Greater is coming one day. One day there'll be no more crying. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more negativity. One day, amen, I don't have to get up and go to work. Guess why? Because I have eternal life. If you can't rejoice about anything, rejoice about that. See, when you put on the helmet of salvation, you start thinking back from where he brought you from. You start thinking about how bad off you were and how God picked you up and turned you around and placed your feet on the solid ground. You start thinking about how far you were away from God. That's what the helmet of salvation does for you and I in the midst of our storm. Do I have anybody tonight? He says one thing here in verse 18. He says, he is the head of the body, the church. Watch this. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. This is what I love. I love this passage here. So that he himself might come to what? To what? In what? Ah. In what? I think we figured it out. I think we cracked the Da Vinci Code. Tonight we cracked the code. If he has all authority, not if, he has all authority in heaven and earth. He's before all things, and all things were created by him. And if he has place, now look what he says, that he might come to have first place. May I ask you tonight? Who has first place? Job? Your spouse? Video games? What is it? Money? Material things. I believe that we will be a strong witness for Christ, and people will see it if he's first place. if he has first place, what is competing right now in your life for first place? And that in itself is a battle. Every day it's a battle. Who's going to be first? The Bible says we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Powers and principalities, right? He also says that your flesh and your spirit, there's a fight going on the inside of you every day. Every single day, there's a fight going on in my mind. Paul says, when I desire, he says, I'm fighting. But if God has first place, see, here's the thing. You know what I realize? I realize I've said that, but when I experienced adversity and trial, that wasn't true. I don't think you're hearing me. When adversity showed up in my life, I found out I panicked rather than praised. When adversity showed up in my life, I found out I started to try to find my own way to get out of my own problems rather than saying, God, take first place. Found out that I spend too much time worrying about money and worrying about my future and worrying and worried, period, rather than saying, God, take first place. And thank you. First place. Now, the reason why he must come to have first place, because he says all authority has been what? Given to you. Back to Matthew, and I'm finna close. This is the real close. It's 8:13. I'm doing well. Now verse 19 says what? Now that I've already given you all that. Now that I've already given you everything that I've given you so far tonight, right? Woo! 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 Two words. Woo! What'd he say? God, stop right there. What'd he say? If he has first place, if he has all authority, if I've put, listen, church is not going to be second on my list. It's going to be first. You know why? Because he's the head of the church, what I just told you. And the reason I run here, amen, I don't come in here slowfully, I run into the house of God, is because I come to meet him every week. But I've been disobedient to him. You know why? Because I haven't went anywhere. Look what he says. He says, because, now I want to help somebody with something. Witnessing is your business. I'm going to say it one more time. Jesus, when he called his disciples, right? This is what he said to them. He said, you know what? You used to fish, come on somebody, for fishes. But now, you'll be a fisher of men. That's powerful to me. Why should I even care? You know what? When God saves you, he changes your heart, so you start caring. Seriously. Seriously, because before, I just got to be honest. It was about me. I'm sorry. I got in, and that's how most churches are today, you know. We're in, we have our little crowd in here, you know what I mean? We got our little insiders, and we ain't letting nobody in because guess what? We all going to heaven. But the book of Revelation says something about that. Book of Revelation says, yeah, you did all those things and you did all that. But look what it says. It says you left your first love. Church, we can be working for a building and forget all about Jesus. Is that deep? You know what that's called? That's being lukewarm. And some of us are lukewarm in our relationship with him. Follow what I'm saying? You ever drink lukewarm coffee? Huh? Listen, the sugar won't even go down. The sugar won't even dissolve. You gotta keep turning and twisting. You gotta keep spinning that thing around. You see, lukewarm people are just like that. I've gotten in and it's good enough. I'm good. But he says, the reason I've given you, now that you have the authority, it's time to stop being scared. I don't have an acronym for that. That's just Ebonic, scared. And some of you are scared. Amen. He says, I've given you authority. So now that you have authority, what should you do? Huh? What the text say?
Go.
Go where? Go therefore. Now, notice this. It says go what? Therefore. Now, here's the question. Whenever you read scripture, right, and you see therefore, you always ask, what is the therefore? The therefore tells you to go back into the context of what was written before to get an idea of what the command is. Now, this word go, it's in the aorist tense. Now, let me tell you what the aorist tense is. Simple action with continuous present results. Now watch this. If you go, right, then you'll keep going. All you have to do is take the first step.
Amen.
Now watch this. It's in the passive voice, which suggests, watch this, that when you go, the action is completed not by you, but by God. But the problem vision that we've been having for the last 10 years is the going part. We haven't went anywhere. We haven't even got to the G part. We love God, we praise God, we do this, we go here, we go to Santa Maria, we do all this stuff. But this community right now, guess what's going on in the community? They're the same. And guess what? We're losing friends. That's an acronym. We lose friends. Some of us lost some loved ones last year. Some of us lost some friends. What happened to them? Are you sure they went to heaven? I know what they told you. But here's the thing. Why should you even care? That's another question. But because I've been given the authority, he says, go and what? Make. What? Of what? Of all what?
All the nations.
He's not just talking about Pearland.
Nope. He's talking about Houston too.
He's talking about New York. He's talking about Pittsburgh. He's talking about Florida. He's talking about everywhere. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Watch this. Baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and what? The Holy Spirit. Verse 20 is key. See, here's the thing. We can't just go out, right? See, this is what we usually do. We go out, we go into the parking lot, right? And we witness to people, we lead them to Christ, and then we don't follow up. We're wasting time. You say, what do you mean we're wasting time? Well, I know what somebody may say. One waters, one plant, one plants, one waters, and God will give the increase. I get all that. But if we're going to do proper witnessing, What we have to do after we've led the person to Christ, we have to follow up with teaching. We got to get them to Bible study. We got to get them through connection class. Because here's the thing, if we don't teach them, how will they know how to live? And here's the dangerous thing, to lead somebody to Christ, right, and then just leave them hanging. Guess what's going to happen to them? When a person comes to Christ, I want you to think about it like this. I want you to think about the fact that you have just given birth to a newborn baby. Now watch this. That baby has to be careful that it does not go into an unsterile environment. Are you with me? So what usually happens after a baby is born? They put the baby in a what? Incubator. They make sure that the place is what? Sterile, that everything is clean, that the baby will not get infected by any germs. And what happens to us is that we lead people to Christ and then we just leave them hanging. We don't follow up. So what we're going to do here with our SWAT team, Soul Winners, that's another acronym, SWAT, Soul Winners Action Team. And what we're going to do with the SWAT team is that we're going to create one part of the team is going to witness, the other part of the team is going to follow up. And that's how we're going to win souls this year to Jesus. Because the second part of that verse, and I'm closing, teaching them to observe what? All I command you. And lo, what? I am what? I am what? Okay, so let me close it like this. He's before all things. He is in all things. He has to come to have first place in everything. He's given us all authority so that when you get ready to witness, you're not alone. So when the Holy Spirit unctions you to say to somebody, hey, you go to church? You know, the day I met you, that was the Holy Spirit, man. If the Holy Spirit, if I didn't say nothing to you, that was the Holy Spirit talk. I'm like, daggone, talk. Sometimes I have these conversations with the Holy Spirit, right? And he tells you what to say sometimes. You know, you're like, man, should I really say something? And so had I not spoken to you, you wouldn't be here today. You see, what I'm saying to you tonight is that we got to believe and we have to obey this. Next week I'll talk about obeying the command, the command, obeying the commission. He's telling us tonight, saints, as I close, that you don't have to be afraid to talk about me. You don't have to be intimidated. Listen, make it your business. Make it your business to want to share your faith. And as we learn, amen, the coming weeks we'll learn, amen, how to do that. Amen? Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.